We're studying the 23rd Psalm, a series of lessons here on Sunday morning, a psalm of great hope and comfort. It tells us the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In previous lessons, we've talked about the context of Psalm 23 and its place in the Bible. We talked about in our last lesson the first two words of this psalm, the Lord. If we're going to know who the shepherd is, we need to understand who the Lord is. And so we tried to look at him and the words that are used to him and the great description we have of him from Scripture. Today we're going to talk about the word shepherd. Why a shepherd? Out of all of the pictures that David could have used to describe God for us, why did the Holy Spirit choose, inspire him to use the word shepherd, to describe God as a shepherd? David was a great warrior and commander of men. He fought many battles. Why not God as a commander and David as a warrior? Instead of a shepherd and we are sheep, why couldn't we be warriors in his army and God is our general leading us? We like that idea better, right, of being a warrior than a sheep. But that's not what the Lord chose. Why not a king? David was a king. He knew what it was like to rule over people and to lead them and direct them. Why not God is our king and we are his citizens, members of his kingdom? We like that better than being a sheep. It seems more appropriate to be a citizen, or more desirable to be a citizen of a great country than a lowly little sheep. Why a shepherd? David, of course, is the sweet psalmist of Israel. Why didn't the Holy Spirit choose to describe God as the conductor of the symphony, or the one who inspires the songs, and David and us as his singers? We'd rather be singers in the Lord's choir than sheep, right? Why a shepherd? Why did God choose this description? And the answer is really pretty simple, and it's revealed to us in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, where God says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God chose a shepherd because we are like sheep. And David, who was a king, a great warrior, who was a king of people, who was a singer of God's praises, was also a shepherd. And he knew what it was like to keep sheep. And he knew their character. He knew their nature. He knew what was necessary to take care of them and provide for them and to tend them. And when he looked at his life as a shepherd, he understood that that's how God cared for him as a sheep. And we need to learn that lesson as well. Two things we're going to talk about today. Number one, men are like sheep. And number two, men need a shepherd. And that's why the Lord is my shepherd and why God chose this word. So let's think about these two ideas. First of all, that men are like sheep. That's not, you know, usually seen as a compliment, or I guess it shouldn't be in a lot of ways, because sheep are not, you know, the greatest animals you want to think of. King of the jungle, it's not the sheep. You know, the mightiest animal in the forest is not a lamb, right? You don't see mascots for football teams and other sports. You know, they're the lambs. They're the sheep. That's not who you think of. God describes us as sheep over and over in the Bible because we are a lot like them in many ways that we, you know, probably wish we weren't. In the first place, sheep are dumb. They're not very intelligent animals. You don't see a lot of trained sheep performing, you know, in the circus or whatever, because they're not that intelligent. Isaiah 53, we read verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Verse 7 says about Jesus, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now, the word dumb in that verse means not speaking. They don't cry out. It doesn't mean dumb intelligence-wise. But think about what that verse says. Sheep are so passive, so unaware of what's happening, that you can literally lead them to the slaughterhouse. And as, you know, the axe is coming out on their head, however you kill sheep, they don't make a sound. They're not very intelligent. They don't realize what's going on. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 32, this verse is quoted, and it's quoted this way. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearer, so opened he not his mouth. So led there, brought to the slaughter without any resistance, because they don't realize what's going on. Sheep are not intelligent sometimes. They're dumb. They will literally graze their way into danger. We're told stories about sheep who have been brought to green grass and they're eating, and they get so involved in their eating the green grass that they look at the grass and they follow that grass and they never look up to see where they're going. And they'll wander off into this danger and into that danger, all because they're so focused on what's right in front of them that they miss the big picture of everything that's around. We read about sheep who wander into trouble because they're not paying attention. My mother used to tell a story to her little children's Bible class about a sheep, and I can't remember his name, but she would tell the story about how the sheep would not pay attention and he'd wander off, and then he gets caught in the briars and the brambles, and they have all that wool, and so he starts twisting and trying to get out, and instead of getting out of the briar patch, he's just entangling himself more and more deeply. Then they start cutting his flesh and he's bleeding, and all of these horrible things are happening because he just wasn't paying attention. He walked right into the briars. That sounds like us a lot of times. We're not paying attention. We find ourselves in trouble. Sheep will scatter at the sign of danger when they're afraid of something. Even if it's not dangerous, they get scared and become afraid, and they run and they scatter. Psalm 44 and verse 11 says, "Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen," among the Gentiles. God scattered his people, and he describes them as sheep. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7 is a prophecy. It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones." We know that quotation in the New Testament. When Jesus, on the night of his betrayal by Judas, and as he was arrested, or about to be arrested, he quoted this verse. And he said to his disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." So they're scattered. They think there's danger, they think there's trouble, and they just run in any direction. They don't stay together as a herd. Everybody goes his or her own way, and they flee for their lives. Sheep are dumb. That's a lot like us. We do the very same things. We get focused on the here and now. We don't look at where we're going. And we find ourselves lost in sin, trapped in the briars and the brambles of this life. We've gotten ourselves into a situation that we can't get ourselves out of, and we only keep getting ourselves in deeper and deeper. We see trouble coming, something we think is something to be feared, and we just run. We don't know where we're going or what we're going to do, but we just try to get away from the danger. Like sheep, we're often not intelligent, not thinking correctly, and we act dumb. Secondly, sheep are dirty. Have you ever noticed that about sheep? It's funny, I was watching a video the other day that it was actually a dog video. That this guy was a shepherd, but he owned sheep, but he had his dog sitting up on his four-wheeler, and all the sheep were way out in the field. But he was showing how well-trained the dog was, that he would sit there until, you know, he said the word and gave the command, and then here with that dog. And he went out and ran around those sheep and brought them all in, and they went, you know, right into the pen. But what was interesting about that video is that it was terribly muddy. And when those sheep came running in from the field and came through the gate into the pen, there weren't any white sheep. They were all brown. And the mud had just caked in their wool. Because sheep don't have any way to clean themselves. We all know cats can clean themselves. We see birds in the bird bath. The bear will jump in the river. Horses will even roll in dust, you know, to keep flies off of them. But sheep have no way to clean themselves. They have all that wool. You can't clean that. And so the dirt and the filth when it starts, it just builds and it gathers. And they have no way to rid themselves of it, which is just like we as people. Now, obviously, physically, we can clean ourselves, but not spiritually. And we get into sin, and we think we're going to find our way out of it on our own, and we just go further and further into sin. And we think we found the remedy and the solution, and we come up with our own way of salvation, and we've actually sinned again. And it just grows, and it grows, and builds up upon us, and we have no way to cleanse ourselves of those sins. Like sheep, we, people, are dirty. But in the third place, sheep are defenseless. They have no claws. They don't have sharp teeth where they can, you know, defend themselves against an attack. You can't outrun your predator when you're a sheep, when the wolf is chasing you or the lion or the bear or whatever it is. Sheep can run, but they can't outrun those animals. They can't easily hide. I mean, where are you going to hide a sheep? They're covered in white wool. White stands out like anything in the world unless it's in the snow, and they're not equipped for snow and cold weather. So there's nowhere for them to hide. They can't hide. They can't run. They can't defend themselves. They're just utterly defenseless, entirely dependent on someone or something else to protect them and to take care of them. And the truth is that we're like that as people. We tell ourselves that we're not, and we think that we're strong enough and brave enough and courageous enough and bold enough that we can take care of ourselves. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we have no defense on our own. We can't defeat the devil by ourselves. We can't overcome him by our own way of thinking, our own plan of salvation, our own ideas about how to be saved. We need someone to defend us. But all these things that we learn about sheep, that they're dumb and they're dirty and they're defenseless, it ultimately comes down to one very important principle about sheep. In spite of all those things, they're very stubborn. And maybe it's not stubbornness on the part of the sheep. Maybe it's just a lack of intelligence. They don't have the ability to reason like we do. But when you compare them to people, with us, it usually comes down to stubbornness. And what that means is we are sheep, but we see ourselves as lions, right, and tigers and these great animals. And we say, I'm going to do it my way. I know what's best. I know what's right for me. So I'm going to live my life my way, and no one can tell me what to do. No one can show me how to live. No one can teach me what to do. I'm going to live my life my way. And we think that that is freedom, and we think that that's brave, and we think we've accomplished some great thing when we choose to do it our way. But the truth is, we're just being stubborn like these sheep, unwilling to see that we're not intelligent on our own, that we can't cleanse ourselves on our own, and we can't protect ourselves on our own. We need a shepherd. And so because we are sheep, we need a shepherd. And that's really the point of what, you know, Psalm 23 is about, that the Lord is my shepherd, that all of these things that we stand in need of, you know, the first verse says, I shall not want. All these things that we need and even that we desire, we try to get them and to gain them on our own, doing it our way. And the truth of the matter is, the only way that those needs can be met is when the Lord is our shepherd. So let's think about this idea about the fact that men need a shepherd. First of all, just like we talked about for sheep, we need a shepherd for guidance. Over in Psalm 78 and verse number 52, the Bible says this, but may God, talking about God when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Now you think about that example. We read Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We led, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And then you have this picture of the nation of Israel, however many there were, over a million, maybe 2 million people who came out of Egypt wandering through the wilderness. How do you get that many people out of slavery, out of bondage, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness to the promised land of Canaan? Well, God led them like a flock. They were sheep. Had they done this on their own, they would have scattered in every direction. They even tried to with God leading them. You know, Korah and Dathan and Abiram, they wanted to do it their way. And so they tried to overthrow Moses and Aaron. Even Aaron and Miriam tried to overthrow Moses. They wanted to lead their way. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai, the people built the golden calf. They wanted to be led this way. And so if they had been left on their own to their own devices, they would have broken into groups and factions and tribes and scattered in all different directions. But God led them as a flock. He was their shepherd. They were his sheep. And he guided them safely to the promised land. Even with all of their sin and all of their rebellion and murmuring and complaining and everything that they did wrong and everything that went wrong on that journey, God still got them there because he was their shepherd. And it demonstrates the point that if we want guidance in this life, we need a shepherd. Now, we have to be careful about who that shepherd is, but we need someone to guide us. The very last verse of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, has 176 verses. All of them, but I think three or four verses, mention the Word of God. It's a psalm about the beauty and the power and the importance of God's Word. And at the end of it, the very last thing the psalmist says is this: I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. That's what happens. I do that. You do that. We all have done that. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. But he asked the Lord to seek him because I do not forget thy commandments. I may be a lost sheep, but if I will listen to God's word, I have a shepherd, and he will bring me back to the fold of safety. But I have to admit that I need guidance and that God's word is that source of guidance. I'm going to read two verses to you from Ezekiel 34. And I have these on the computer screen just for the sake of time from flipping over there. This is Ezekiel 34, verse 6 says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." So God says, my flock was scattered and nobody went out looking for them. That was the job of the elders of Israel, by the way. It's the job of elders in the church today to go out to seek those sheep that have gone astray and that are lost. But no one did. But here's what God says in verse 16. He says, I will seek that which is lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. God says, I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. So the sheep were scattered. They didn't have a leader. God says, I'll go find them, and I'll bring them back, and I'll take care of them and heal them and then lead them. Because without God, man is scattered. But with God, we have a shepherd, one who can lead us and who can guide us. Matthew 10 and verse 6, Jesus came and what did he say? Go rather to whom? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were sheep, but they'd become lost. And someone needed to go out and bring them back. That's what God does. That's what he sent his son to do. Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel because they were lost sheep. Remember when Jesus looked out on the multitude and saw them as sheep scattered, leaderless, in need of a shepherd? He was the one to be and to become that shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So this is who you were, sheep going astray, but this is who you are now as a Christian. You're returned to the shepherd, the one who cares for your soul and will lead and guide it to eternal salvation. So we have this great contrast that men without a shepherd, without a leader, go astray. Just like those sheep we talked about. We are dumb. We don't act with the right kind of intelligence. We get dirty with sin. We find ourselves defenseless and in need of help. And there is the Lord who says, I am your shepherd. If you will listen to my word, I will lead you and I will guide you. And so we don't have to be scattered. We don't have to be lost. We don't have to suffer. But we can find hope and salvation through the guidance of the good shepherd. Secondly, men need a shepherd for cleansing. Again, sheep are dirty. We as people get dirty with sin, but with the shepherd we can find cleansing. There's a beautiful statement in Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, "Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bare twins, and none is barren among them." Think about how beautiful her teeth are. They're white and shiny like sheep that have just been washed and been bathed and shorn. You have that white wool. But notice something about the sheep and how they're described as beautiful and white. When did that happen? When did they appear that way? It was when they came up from the washing. How did they look before they went down into the washing? Well, they were dirty and they were filthy, just like the sheep we talked about earlier. Someone had to wash those sheep. Someone had to bathe them. Someone had to cleanse them. And that's what the shepherd did. It was part of his job in taking care of the sheep. They couldn't clean themselves. He had to keep them clean. So with a shepherd, there was cleansing. Without one, they're just dirty and getting dirtier all the time. But with the shepherd, there's cleansing. Now, with that in mind, listen to Proverbs 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, but it says, yet they're not washed from their filthiness. They're pure in their own eyes. They tell themselves they're clean, tell themselves they're pure, they're not dirty, but in fact, their filthiness has not been washed away. It reminds me a lot of the generation we live in and the world that we live in, where people have told themselves and convinced themselves that everything is okay. Just believe whatever you want to believe, and as long as you're happy and you're sincere, doesn't matter. Everything's fine. God loves you. But they're not actually washed from their sins because they've never followed the leadership of the Good Shepherd. They think they can cleanse themselves, and that's not possible. We as sheep cannot cleanse ourselves from our own sin. Ephesians 5:26, Paul is writing about the church and Jesus' relationship to it as a husband to the wife. And he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. This is the sheep coming up from the washing, perfectly clean and pure. But the washing that takes place here is spiritual. It's a washing of water by the word. That's talking about baptism, by the way. The word of God tells us to be baptized for the remission of sins. And so when we go down into the water, we're washed away from our sins because we've done what the word of God tells us to do. Obeying God's word enables us and allows us to be cleansed of our sins. I can't cleanse myself of sin. Only the Lord can do that. And he does it with the washing of water by the word. Notice also what we're told in 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we as dirty sheep need to be cleansed of our sins. What can do that? We sing the song, what can wash away my sins? And what's the answer? There's only one answer, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How do I contact that blood? The washing of water by the word. I initially contact it when I'm baptized for the remission of sins. And then as I live the Christian life, as I walk in the light of God's word, when I mess up, I confess it and pray for forgiveness, turn away from it. And the blood of Christ continually cleanses me of my sin. So as a Christian, I'm a sheep, right? I'm part of God's shepherd. But as long as I'm following the good shepherd, he is continually cleansing me of my sin. So I don't walk around dirty and disgusting. I walk around clean and pure in the eyes of God because of the power of the blood of Jesus. And that's why I need a shepherd. I can't do that for myself. Only the good shepherd can cleanse me and make me pure and holy and right without spot or blemish in the eyes of God. So men need a shepherd, number one, for guidance, number two, for cleansing, and then number three, we need a shepherd for protection. Sheep are defenseless, and we, when it comes to the battle with Satan, are defenseless as well. We cannot defeat him and overcome him on our own. Luke 15 and verse 4, Jesus says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And then Jesus says, "I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." What a beautiful passage that is about this lost sheep that's brought home to safety. Here's this lamb who's wandered astray, who's fallen off the cliff and he can't climb back up, who's become entangled in the briars and the brush and he can't get out. And who goes to find him? It's the shepherd, right? The lost sheep is searched for and found by the shepherd. And the shepherd pulls him out of that situation. And the shepherd puts him on his shoulders. And the shepherd carries him back home. And the shepherd cleans him up and mends him and fixes him. And the shepherd rejoices over him and invites everyone else to come and rejoice. That shepherd is our Lord. And that's what Jesus does for us when we're lost. Now, that doesn't mean that he forces salvation upon us. We're lost. He comes after us, and he tries to reach out to us, and he knocks on the door. We can close it. We can run away. We can ignore him and not listen. But this is what he's trying to do, to bring us back to him, because he's our shepherd, and he protects us from ourselves sometimes, and of course, especially from our enemy, the devil. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The one who is our shepherd is one who has overcome the world. And so when the world attacks you and the world attacks me, and it puts these obstacles and these tests and these temptations before us, the one who is with us has already overcome all of that. And if he's the one that's guiding me, he shows me the way around all of those obstacles. And so I can overcome the world as well. In fact, 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." How have we overcome them? "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So Jesus says, "I have overcome the world," and then John says, the same John who wrote John 16:33, says that we overcome the world because the one who's in us is greater than the one who's in the world. Jesus is greater than the devil. He's already defeated him. He's already overcome him. And if he's my shepherd and I follow him, then he's protecting me. And he's going to lead me in the right way so that I can have victory. That's why Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Not on our own, by our own strength or our own wisdom, but through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors, which is great enough if we can defeat the devil, but we're more than conquerors. Super conquerors is the idea in the original. We're so far above just being a conqueror. We have such victory over the devil that we almost can't even comprehend what the Lord has done for us. He protects us when he is our shepherd as we follow him. So he gives us the Christian armor. He gives us his word as a guide to tell us how the devil's going to attack. He provides us with that wonderful avenue of prayer, the fellowship we enjoy with him and with one another, all these spiritual blessings that enable us to win the victory. And then the knowledge that he's already defeated the devil, that gives us the assurance that victory is ours. We are sheep in need of a shepherd to guide us, to cleanse us, and to protect us. And I want us to close by reminding ourselves of this important point, that we cannot shepherd ourselves. And again, this is the problem with so many in our world today, and sadly, sometimes even in the church. We think we know the best way. We've figured out some way better than what God's word says, whether it's the plan of salvation or whether it's how to worship or, you know, what to teach and all of those things. People are always trying to change the simple truth of Scripture to find some new way to reach people or whatever. But the Bible's the only way. Whatever we come up with, it's not going to succeed. It can't be good enough because it's not from the good shepherd. So listen to a few verses. Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." So do you want to be wise or foolish? If you're wise, you'll listen to counsel, particularly the counsel that comes from God. But if you're foolish, you're right in your own eyes. And how many people does that describe in our world today? I'm right because I say so. I think it's right, and therefore it's right. But the Bible says that's not right. Wisdom is listening to counsel. Proverbs 14 and verse number 12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It seems right, but the end is destruction. That was so important that it was repeated in Proverbs 16:25. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The only difference in those two verses is which and that. It's changed from which to that and one to the other. Same thing, but it's stated twice because we need to understand that it may seem right to us, but that doesn't make it right. We cannot be our own shepherds. Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." We don't have the ability to guide ourselves through this world. It's not in us. God hasn't made us that way. We need a shepherd. Matthew 7:13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," we're told. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Most would choose the wide, broad way that leads to destruction. But those who are wise will listen to the shepherd and follow him on the straight and narrow way. Romans 6:21, we're going to talk about this in our lesson tonight at the end of this chapter. But Paul asked this question. He says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." And he's talking to those Christians and he says, look back at your life before you became a Christian, the way that you lived, and all of those things that you did, that there was no shame in them. You thought you were doing right. You thought everything was great. Now you're ashamed of it because you know you were wrong. But when you look back at your life before you were a Christian, what fruit did you have? What was produced in your life from those actions? And if we're honest, the answer is it was always the fruit of death. It wasn't giving us life. It wasn't making us stronger. It wasn't, you know, helping us to follow God. It was leading us away from him. And so we, when we try to guide ourselves, only lead ourselves to destruction and to death. But when we follow God, we find salvation and life. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And that's the heart of the matter. Too many people are content to deceive themselves, to lie to themselves and tell them that I'm okay, the way that I'm living is okay because it feels right to me, because so many people are a member of this church or this denomination, and if they're, all these people can't be wrong, and so I'm a part of them, so it must be okay. We look at all the wrong standards to determine right from wrong, when the answer is we have to follow the good shepherd, to let him lead us through this life. Now, being a sheep can be a bad thing if we're following the wrong shepherd. If I'm trying to shepherd my own life, I'm going to lead myself astray. If I'm listening to someone who's not telling me what the Word of God says, who's teaching me something different from what the Word of God says, I might be a good sheep and follow them faithfully, but they're only leading me astray into danger and death and destruction, to being lost for all eternity. To be a true sheep means to follow only the good shepherd. And so this idea of being sheep, you know, it's not very popular in our world. And for right reasons, there are many who are led by all the wrong things. You know, that no matter what evidence you can show them of this, well, if that were true, it would be on the news at night. And it's not on the news, so it can't be true. If that's our shepherd, we're being led in the wrong way. If that television is guiding us through life, we're ending up in the wrong destination. But if the Lord is our shepherd, if we're following Jesus and what he teaches us about the world and about sin and about Satan and ultimately about salvation, if he's leading us and guiding us, then we know that we're headed to eternal life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I follow him, that's what follows me, and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So is the Lord your shepherd? Understand that you're a sheep, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you like that description or not, that's who you are. It's who I am. It's who we are. We are dirty, dumb, defenseless animals that need a shepherd. And when we're willing to admit that that's who we are and to admit that we need someone to guide us and that the only one who can do that is the God who created us, the Lord who loves us, the Savior who died for us, and we're willing then to submit our will to his, only when we do that will we find the way to eternal life in heaven. Will you let the Lord be your shepherd today? Follow his instructions and let him lead you to salvation. Hear his word. Believe in him, repent of your sins, confess him as Lord and Savior, and be baptized for the remission of sins. All those things that he commands us to do. And then when you come up from that watery grave, raised to walk in newness of life, follow him faithfully, even unto death, and heaven will be your home. If you haven't started that journey and need to put on Christ in baptism, we can help you do it today. Or if you have but haven't been faithful and have gone the wrong way, wandered astray, he's searching for you. He'll bring you back home. If you'll admit your wrong, repent of your sins, pray for forgiveness, he'll forgive and restore, and again, lead us to that eternal home in heaven. If we can help you with those things in any way, let it be known by coming forward, even now, as we stand and sing.